By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Well, we're going to talk about that section now, and there will be a chance for questions at the end of the talk if you do have anything that you'd like to bring up. So feel free to make a mental note or scribble it down or put it on your phone or whatever you like, and we can chat about it at the end. So one of the things that's unique about Christianity is the fact that in Christianity you actually end up with a personal relationship with God. Okay, it's sometimes said that all religions lead to God. You have that illustration, don't you, of there being a mountain, and at the top of the mountain is God, and there are these many pathways on the mountain up to God, and the idea is that there are many ways to God, many ways to get there, but still the one God at the end. So the idea is that there are many ways to God. But it's not actually true. It's not true because Christianity is actually the only faith that even claims to bring you into an intimate personal relationship with God. In Islam, God is said to be unknowable. It's one of the basic characteristics of God. You don't enter into a relationship with Allah. Similarly, in Buddhism, what you have in Buddhism is a mere philosophy of how to live. Buddha himself, I mean, he didn't really even care whether or not God existed, and he certainly didn't believe in a personal God if he did believe in God at all. And so Buddha didn't aim at a personal relationship with God. And similarly, even in Hinduism, Hinduism believes in millions of gods. In fact, there are 330 million gods in Hinduism. So, I mean, they believe in the divine. But you must ask the question, if you believe in 330 million gods, you certainly can't have a personal relationship with them all. You can't do that. By the way, the one God who is said to be supreme over all of them, Brahma, he is said to be unknowable. And so again, you're not actually entering into a relationship with God. However, Christianity is different. In Christianity, those who trust in Christ are said to enter into a relationship with God. In fact, the imagery is used of the imagery of marriage. God's people are said to be married to God. It's this personal relationship. So for the believer, the great thing that you aim for in faith is God. For the believer, the great thing that you treasure in life and in death is God. See, through Jesus Christ, the believer enters into a personal relationship with God himself. Jesus is better than religion. In Jesus, the great thing that we get is God. He is our great treasure. And that's what we're going to see in our time tonight. We're looking tonight at the faith of Moses. The writer here is trying to teach his readers that ultimately Moses himself looked forward to Christ. God had revealed to Moses something of the Saviour that was to come, and Moses trusted in him. And he treasured God in Christ more than anything else in all the world. That's what you get in the faith of the Bible. What you get in the faith of the Bible is you get God. That's what you get. It's amazing. All right, look here at Moses, and particularly what we're going to see here is how much Moses gave up for God. Okay, Moses lost status, riches, and pleasure. He was willing to lose all of that for God. He was willing to lose all of that because he treasured God. Read with me from verse 23. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." Right, so the story here, if you go back to the book of Exodus, is that Moses, when he was just a young baby, he ended up in the household of the Pharaoh. Okay, basically what happened was Pharaoh felt threatened by the growing number of Jews in Egypt, and so he was killing all of the boys that were born to Jewish women. Now, Moses' mum, she trusts in God, and she's not willing to allow her boy to be killed. And so she hides Moses in a basket in the reeds alongside the river's edge, and eventually, by God's providence, by his handiwork, the daughter of the Pharaoh actually comes and she discovers this little boy in the reeds, in the basket, crying. And she feels compassion on him. She picks him up. And Moses' sister, who's kind of there watching, runs out and says, "Oh, hey, do you want me to go get an Israelite woman to be a nurse for this little child?" And she says, "Oh, yeah, that's a great idea." And so, of course, the sister runs off and gets mum. And mum comes along And then the daughter of the Pharaoh actually has as the maid servant for this baby what is actually Moses' mum. And so Moses actually grows up in the household of the Pharaoh with the daughter of the Pharaoh as his Egyptian mum, but meanwhile the maid that's caring for him is actually his real mum. And so she's teaching him the things of God. And so Moses gets to this point in his life when he's an adult where he has to decide, am I going to keep up this charade of being the daughter of the Pharaoh, or am I actually going to make a much harder choice and identify with the people of God, the Jews? Moses has to make a choice. Do I identify myself with the people of God in the Bible do I identify myself with the God of the Bible and his people, or do I keep on just sliding under the radar, identifying myself as Egyptian and presumably as following all of the Egyptian gods too? Which way am I going to turn? It's this tortuous decision. And it's a tortuous decision because of just how much Moses is going to lose by identifying himself with God. Okay, Moses is thought of as the son of the daughter of the Pharaoh. Now, what that could have actually meant, we do not know for sure, but what it could have actually meant was that he is in line for the throne. According to some traditions, the Pharaoh had no sons of his own, and so it may be that he was in line for the throne. We do not know for sure. But regardless of that, even if that wasn't the case, Moses is still a man of incredible status, is he not? He has great status. He is part of the royal family, and as such, he is a rich man who has access to every kind of pleasure in the kingdom. Moses has a lot to lose by choosing the God of the Bible over the gods of the Egyptians, does he not? He has an enormous amount to lose. And yet, that's what he chooses. We're told, verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. See, Moses chose to be identified with God and his people. He was ready to lose status, to lose riches, to lose every imaginable pleasure in order to follow God. It's quite something. He lost all of those things when he threw his lot in with the God of the Bible. Riches, status, pleasure. Moreover, in addition to this, what we're actually told is that Moses actually suffered for the name of Christ. Okay, look at what it says there in verse 25. It says, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. All right, the Israelites at this time, they're being persecuted by the Egyptians. They're slaves. So it's not just that Moses, by making a choice to throw in his lot with God, it's not just that Moses is losing all of these privileges of being part of the royal family, which he is, but more than this, Moses, by choosing God, the God of the Bible, Yahweh God, he's actually choosing to suffer. That's what he's choosing. It's what's going to happen. And so when Moses identifies himself with the people of God, he actually ended up having to flee Egypt. He just had to flee for his life. And he had to flee Egypt for many years, live out in the sticks, because his life was under threat. See, Moses suffered for the Lord. Imagine making a choice where you give up all royal privileges, and in place of that, you choose to enter a life of suffering. That was Moses. And yet, and here's the big point for tonight, despite losing riches, status, pleasure, despite identifying with a people in bondage and going into exile, yet Moses thought that he was better off. And this is the point. Moses thought that he was better off. Moses treasured God in Christ more than anything else. Go have a read of verses 26 and 27. Why is it that Moses is doing all of this? We are told. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. And then it goes on, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now what did you notice there? Did you notice there who it is that Moses could see? What it is that was driving him forward to be able to give up status, riches and pleasure, and to be willing to suffer. What Moses saw was he saw him who is invisible. He was trusting in God. And the way that it puts it in the verse earlier is it says that he was actually trusting in Christ. He treasured Christ himself. It says that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. In other words, he valued Christ more than all of that. God, as he shows himself to us in Christ, was of greater value to Moses than anything else. And he was happy to lose all of that for Christ. Now, you might be a little bit confused at the moment because you think, well, didn't Jesus come 1,500 years after Moses? And it's true, yes, he did. But what we understand from passages like this and other passages is that Moses he understood at least something of the Saviour that was to come. All right, when Philip, one of Jesus' disciples, met Jesus, we're told that he found his friend Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." See, parts of Moses' writings we accept were prophecies of Jesus. God had revealed to Moses that a Saviour King was to come. This is why Jesus said to the Jews in John chapter 5 and verse 46, "For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me." Parts of Moses' writings were prophecies of Jesus. God had revealed to Moses that a Saviour King was going to come. And so what we're told here is that as Moses gave up Egypt and as he suffered with the people of God, he did that because he treasured Christ, this Saviour who was going to come and who would bring us to God. He treasured God in Christ more than anything else. Okay, it's amazing. Royal family, riches, any pleasure. Christ was better than all of that. Friends, is this the way that you view Christ? Does he mean that much to you? In Christ, we have a relationship with God. Friends, none of the other religions have that. You don't get God anywhere else. Do you know, in one of the appearances of God to Abraham several hundreds of years earlier, this is what was said. We read, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward.'" See, what was Abraham's great reward? What was the great gift that God could give Abraham? It was himself. God was Abraham's reward. God was Abraham's treasure. And that's what Moses had come to understand. There was nothing better than knowing God through Jesus Christ. That was the greatest treasure that he could have. It's better than all that Egypt could offer him. Now, friends, is that what you believe? Do you believe that there's nothing better than knowing God through Jesus Christ? Do you want God? Is he worth everything to you? See, a Christian is someone who values knowing God through Jesus more than anything else. And so a Christian is ready to suffer with God's people, if that is what it means to follow Christ. A Christian is ready to give up the passing pleasures of sin, if that's what it means to follow Christ, and it will mean that, to follow Christ. And it will mean suffering at times too. Remember, Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. A Christian values knowing God through Christ more than anything else. This came home to me recently while watching a video by Sam Albury. Okay, Sam Albury, he's a British pastor who was recently out in Australia. He was giving a talk on the subject, "Is Jesus good news to the LGBTI community?" And he was giving a talk on this subject. And Sam Albury himself, he grew up in a non-Christian background. And he says that when he was about 14, he remembers feeling crushed when a friend of his announced that he had a girlfriend. And as he got older, all his friends used to talk about sport and girls. And surprisingly, he was interested in neither. It wasn't until he was just about to head to university that he came to the conclusion that he was same-sex attracted. But shortly after that realization, he was invited by a friend to church, and he became a Christian. It wasn't long, of course, before he realized that, I mean, this was going to have implications for his sexuality. God has given sex for marriage, and marriage, he realized, according to Jesus in Matthew 19, is between a man and a woman. And so though he continued as a Christian to struggle with same-sex attraction, yet he knew that this was not something that he could act on. And so he made a choice to remain celibate. And he says now that he is telling his story to people because he's worried that some people are thinking that Jesus is not good news for same-sex attracted people. And he says, nonsense. Jesus was great news for me. Jesus is great news for the LGBTI community. And he is worth it all, he says. He says, I knew Jesus died for me and rose again. So I was convinced without a doubt that this was someone I could trust my life to. I knew Jesus knows me better than I know myself, and that he's more committed to my ultimate joy than I am. And so I trusted him. And he says that Christ has been for him all that he needed. Christ has satisfied his soul, and he continues to satisfy his soul, so that he does not in any way feel impoverished for being a Christian. Far from it. Christ has been amazing news for him. He has been to him what he needs. And friends, this is the kind of thing that the writer here to the Hebrews is saying about Moses. Moses lost all of the treasures of Egypt, and yet Christ was worth it all. Friends, is this what you believe? A Christian is someone who has a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that to the Christian is worth everything. Is Christ worth everything to you? What is it that you need to give up in your life in order to follow him? What kind of passing pleasures of sin do you need to give up? See, we're all tempted by sin. I mean, you might be heterosexual, but you're still tempted by sin just as much as the homosexual. I mean, we have to be clear about that. There's absolutely nothing different there. We just have different temptations that we're dealing with. And so what is it for you? What is it that you need to give up in your life in order to follow him? Remember, Christ is worth it all. You will not be hardly done by. We can know God through Jesus Christ. And that is better than everything. Moses believed that Christ was better than status. He believed that Christ was better than riches. He believed that Christ was better than all of the pleasures of sin. And my prayer for us is that each one of us would believe this for ourselves also. Well, I'm going to leave it there, and I'll open up the floor for questions if anybody has questions. Thanks, Peter. Sam Albury here.
What example do you think Moses can set for Christians who are dealing with the issue of same-sex marriage, which is current at the moment, especially in terms of confessing Christian is getting a lot of abuse and persecution because of specifically standing up for Christ. What was it? What do you think about Moses could be a good example for us or something we can follow if we're tempted to sort of back off and not stand up for vital truth?
Sure. So, I mean, I think the big one there would be reputation, wouldn't it? So the temptation is not to want to be seen to be a follower of Christ in the area of marriage because it's going to put me on the wrong side of history and I don't want to be on the wrong side of history. All of the sway is going in the other direction. And so sometimes to actually just stand up and say, hey, this is what Jesus taught, and I'm a follower of Christ, therefore I believe that this is right. I think just that being ready to treasure Christ more than my reputation, I think would probably be the bigger one, biggest one. Obviously, there are other things that can go along with it, but I think that would probably be the biggest one. All right. Well, we might sing again.